Thank the Lord tonight
for the privilege of being here again in Dallas. We don't ever take for granted the times that the Lord allows us to go places. Desire your prayers this evening. Have a thought upon our heart. You know, Wednesday night, it's usually prayer meeting night, and it's usually the faithful few. Well, the message that the Lord has given us for tonight is for the faithful few. So we desire your prayers. Title I wrote on the board is The Deep. I want to give you a definition of what the deep means. The central and most intense or profound part. Another definition is a long, steep-sided depression in the ocean floor. And it is a literary term for an ocean. You might wonder, what is he going to talk about, the deep? I'm going to use this example. When I was in high school, we were told that we have to take a swimming class before we graduate. It was a requirement. The pool at our school had a shallow end, which was 4 feet, and it had a deep end, which was 12 and a half feet. I did not know how to swim. So 16 years of age, we signed up for swim class. The first swim class we took, we spent the whole class in the shallow end. The second class we took, we spent half the class in the shallow end, and the remaining of the class was spent in the deep end. Now, when I mean the deep end, I mean I can't stand on the bottom and breathe. I can stay in the shallow end, and I can breathe just fine. I can have as much fun as I want in the shallow end because I'm above the water level. But when we had to go to the deep end, it was going to require something more. So this is what I mean by the deep. First class that we went to the deep end, the instructor told us, you're going to jump in the pool, and you're going to go to the bottom, and you're going to come back up. So I jump in the pool. I didn't realize at the bottom of the pool it was curved. And when I got down there, I lost my balance. And I'm not a person that floats easy. So it seemed like time stood still as I was suspended about a foot off the bottom and couldn't go anywhere, holding my breath. It was as if time completely stopped. And I'm thinking in my head, what am I going to do? I can't stand on the bottom and take a breath. Somehow I got to get up to the surface. So the instructor noticed that I was stuck, and they put their foot down, and I reached up to grab their foot to pull myself up. Do you know that startled me? I was fine in the shallow end. But when I got to the deep end, that's a whole nother story. Do you think that the instructor said, okay, you had trouble, so that's enough? No, they said, jump back in. So we jumped back in, and this time I made sure I jumped out far enough to when I hit the bottom, I could push off and come back up. And we did that for a couple of lessons. Then the instructor said, now you're going to jump in the pool. You're going to go to the bottom. You're going to come back up, and then you're going to swim across to the other side. They were building something there. I needed to learn how to swim. Otherwise, I wouldn't have graduated. By the time I got to that lesson or that class in high school, the instructor took 4 diving sticks and chucked them out in the deep end of the pool. And in order to pass, you had to go jump in the water, dive down, get all 4 sticks, and bring them back up. So you might ask, why am I telling you this? There's a lot of Christians in the shallow end, spiritually. And God is calling for the deep end. Every generation that has been alive in this world, since the beginning of time, God has had some examples of people who can handle the deep end. And he's calling for us to handle the deep end. In the world in which we live, there's so much going on. There's so much doubt about God that God wants to be able to point to you and I. They're making it. They're making it. Look at all their situations. They're making it. You have no excuse. The writer in Psalms, the 42nd chapter, in verse 7, David was dealing with some things. You could say he was in the deep end with everything that was going on. And he wrote this verse, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." He had experienced some things that he didn't have control over. When you and I look at things that we don't have control over, that's the deep end. There's some things that come in life, maybe a trial, an hour, a minute, a day, a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. But I'm talking about things that last, that you and I can't change nothing about them. This is the deep. And he was in that place. And he began to realize that what was going on, I do not know how to handle it. There's 2 perspectives I would like us to consider as we look at this verse. The first one is, so many troubles seem to be coming my way, and there is no end to them. This is known as the trying time. And the trying time is to help us to see what we really have on hand spiritually. The second perspective is God has found me worthy and is confident that I can come through complex troubles rather than the simple ones. This is the deep. When you go to the beach, you go to any beach in the world, where are all the people? On the shore, in the sand, and they may have waded out to knee deep. Some of them brave and they go out waist deep. But how many people, you can probably count on one hand the number of people that are out there in the deep where they can't stand on the bottom. Spiritually, it's the same way. There's a lot of people in the comfortable places of Christianity. The places where I can have a little bit of control over what comes my way. But there are very few that are willing to brave the deep. David expressed these things. He felt like a castaway at sea. He had wave after wave coming upon him. One wave of sorrow rolls on me, impelled by another. And the only thing he could think to look at is some weather or phenomenon that he was looking at. He probably saw the water spouts. Where do water spouts come from? From violent weather. It's not a sunshiny day and calm air that you're going to see a water spout show up. Characteristics that accompany water spouts are severe thunderstorms, high seas, large hail and lightning. And spiritually, sometimes we see those things in our life. We find ourselves in situations that we just can't even comprehend how to even sometimes even approach it. These are the times that the Lord begins to work with us, and if we are willing and want to listen in, he's going to show us where we really are. He's going to show us where our spiritual limitations are. Where we just have to fall on our knees and say, Lord, I don't have enough grace. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough peace and joy in my heart. These things are troubling me. They are causing me to stay awake at night. They are causing me to wonder what I'm doing living as a Christian. And we have to come to the point where we acknowledge, Lord, I don't have enough grace. Will you please give me some more? Is there a limitation to the amount of grace and love and peace that God has for us? There is no limitations. But how do we know? Because we're looking at where we are. There's a limit to what we have. But God has an infinite supply. When you and I consider the people that we read about in the Bible, from Old Testament to New, those that went through great things, you find that they had something on hand that nobody else around them had. And you and I still talk about them today. When the Hebrew boys got in the furnace, did they try to find an exit? Does anywhere in the scripture say they was looking for an exit? It doesn't say that. It says they was walking around. What would we do? We would be trying to figure out how to get out of there, right? But for some reason, God had given them something and accompanied them in the furnace, and they were walking around, and I believe they had a calm. Abraham, when he had to go sacrifice his son, he's going up the mountain. He know I got the wood, I got the knife, we can get stones up there. And his son was smart enough to figure out we don't have a sacrifice. And I believe Daddy never forgets the sacrifice. If you allow me to expound. Abraham, this Isaac asking, I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice, Dad? Do you realize Abraham was in a place? God has given me an impossible command to sacrifice my son, and I'm going to be obedient to God in this endeavor. And he gets to the point to where he raises the knife. And you and I still talk about that today. This was not a man that lived under grace like you and I. But he was able to take his son and actually raise the knife. He had got something from God. We look at another example, Jonah. Jonah was a little hard-headed. There were some limitations to him spiritually. God wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach the message that they were going to be destroyed. But he knew how God was. He knew God was merciful. But there was a limitation to his ability to obey God, and he went the other way. And he gets out there on the boat. And the scripture says God had prepared a great fish. He had already knew where Jonah's limitations were. And he had prepared a great fish. Now, you and I might look at it and say, well, he was in this well. Do you understand what it means to be in anything in the depth of the sea? When I was in that swimming class and I dove down to go get those diving sticks, when I got below 6 feet, I noticed there's a difference in pressure. And the closer you got to the bottom of the pool, the more pressure there was. Now, how come the pressure didn't crush Jonah? How come there was oxygen in there for Jonah to breathe? All the while, so Jonah could learn his lesson. When God tells you to do something, you got to get busy doing it. And there are other examples in the Word of God where God took him into the deep. I'm going to push your limitations that you have, because I have something greater to give to you, something that's going to be a reminder and an example to those that are looking at you. God needs some people to go to the deep. The writer said, whatever waves and billows of affliction go over us at any time, we must call them God's waves and his billows, that we may humble ourselves under his mighty hand and may encourage ourselves to hope that though we be threatened, we shall not be ruined. For the waves and the billows are under divine check.
Amen.
Everything that God allows is in his hand. He's already filtered it. He knows exactly what he wants it to accomplish in our lives. You and I can say, well, you know what? I have a lot of patience. I feel like God is pleased with the patience that I have. And then he brings something. And you just have to flat out tell the Lord, Lord, I don't have enough patience. I have to get real honest with God. Otherwise, I'm going to skip out and go another way because I'm not interested in the deep. There's blessings in the deep that you and I don't comprehend sometimes. Lord, I don't have enough love. How much love does God have? God is love. So there is no limitation. And when God is looking at you and I, sometimes we don't understand and comprehend. He's looking at our little bit of love that we got. And he said, I wish they would let me give them more. But how are we going to get? Lord, I need more love. I need more patience. I need more grace. I want more joy in my life. I want to have more peace. How do you think it comes? When the storm comes. That's how it comes. Lord, I didn't ask for a storm. The people in Florida didn't ask for a hurricane, but they got one. How many of them are calling on God? Obviously not enough, because he sent a second one. I believe he wants some more people calling on him. But you and I as Christians, we have to consider these things, that God is not going to allow us to get too comfortable spiritually. He's going to continue to push us up the King's highway. The closer and closer we get to heaven, the more and more Satan is going to come against you and I. And in order for us to be able to make it through those areas of our life, we're going to have more from God. And the only way we get it is in the deep. Now I want to encourage you. There's some scriptures of promise when you get in these places. Isaiah 43 and 2. We're all familiar with these scriptures. Isaiah 43 and 2 says, when thou passest through the water, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oftentimes what the enemy does is when we are in these places, he wants us to believe that God is not there with us. God has put you in the deep all by yourself. There was nobody that jumped in the pool with me and held my hand and took me down to get those diving sticks. I wasn't that good of a swimmer. Still not today. But you know, God is going to be in those places with you.
Yes.
He may hide himself a little bit. Amen. Just so you can get all of the good out of what he has in him. But he's not going to let it bring you to ruin. Don't you know that God already knows that he has ability? They're going to come through, Once they work out what's going on between here and they realize that I have my hand right in theirs in those places, they're going to come through. And then I can give them the peace, the joy, the grace, the love that's needed. And then people begin to look at, you went through that and you still love God? What kind of excuse does it give them? They don't have no excuse. If brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so can come through these places, so can I. And what God is looking for is people in this day and time that he can point to. What did he tell Satan? Have you considered my servant Job? The Lord wants to be able to tell Satan that about you and I. Yeah, sometimes it's not going to be easy. And the flesh is going to resist against it. But what you and I have to do, we got to die out to our flesh. Because that's what's limiting what God wants to give us. Lord, I don't want to have everybody mad at me. I like to be around people that enjoy my company. But look at the world we live in. You can look real easy and see somebody's mad at somebody else for something.
Yeah, true.
And if a Christian experiences that, that's just like every other humans that experience it. The only thing is we got God. We have one that can give us the love that we need for those people. And let me tell you, some of them are real hard to love. But what makes it hard for us to love them? It's a part of me. I don't want it. They don't deserve it. Look at their behavior. Look how they acted. I shouldn't have to love them. But if God is love, what do I have to do? I say I'm God's child.
Yes.
And he loves them the way they are. Then you and I have to, that's when we got to get on it. Lord, I don't have enough love for them. I know you see how they act. You know, we explained it to God. You see how they act. You see what they did. They did this, this, and that. And oftentimes I find when I begin to explain to the Lord what somebody else is doing, he says, what about you? That's usually his response. He's not concerned so much with what they're doing with respect to you. But what he is concerned with is, what are you doing? That, Lord, I don't have it. Please give it to me. These places of peace. We have an example of Jesus telling the disciples, we're going over to the other side. And he goes up in the boat and he goes to sleep. And there's a storm. And Jesus is asleep. What that example does is it shows us what the disciples didn't have on hand. And oftentimes he does that with us. Those restless nights. Those nights when you lay up and you're thinking about the situation that you are going through. You, first of all, you haven't given it to God. Because if you still got it, he don't have it. And if you have given it to him and it's still bothering you, then you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me some peace in my soul to know that you can take care of these things. Another thing about the deep is the time limit seems a lot longer. You know them little easy trials. You can think back in your own experience when you began to be a Christian, the little small trials that God brought you through. And now they're hardly, that's nothing. That was just a day or two. I had that illness for 2 days and it was gone. What about them ones that's still lasting? You remember the woman had an issue of blood 38 years. I can't imagine going through something for 38 years. She got a hold of Jesus. Have you experienced something for that long? That's the deep. She had no hope for a cure. She tried everything she knew of. And then she ended up finding Jesus. Well, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through some illness, some affliction, some suffering. And it don't just last a week. Some of us might have been in it for a while. But there is a secret in that deep situation. God has a stillness and a calmness for you that other people don't have. That you could be in the midst of the trial and still have a peace and a calm about you. Think about Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
All they're doing is preaching the gospel and take a beating. And where do they put them? The innermost part of the prison. That represents the deep. And what were they doing? Oh, I don't know why we was getting beat for just saying God's word. Woe is me. Was that what they were doing?
No.
What were they doing? They was singing praises. What time of night was that?
Midnight.
When's the last time you was in a trial and you began to sing praises and glory to God at midnight? You see, they had something. And you and I, we talk about them. God wants people now that can do the same thing. Can sing praises to God even in the midst of the trial. And at midnight, sometimes it seems like when the enemy attacks the most. That's when we have to start singing and praising God. Otherwise, the enemy's going to drag us down and we won't sleep all night long.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. Here's another one of those promises. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye have searched for me with all your heart. What's the first thing the enemy does when you start going through some difficult trial? He tell you God don't think much of you. God's just being mean. He's just picking on you. That's what he says. But God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Everything that God allows to come our way is to work some good in our life. There's some treasure tied to these things. And sometimes Christians seem to be so afraid of having to go through some things. Now, you think God is just going to overwhelm you? He don't send nothing that you can't bear. But what did he say he'd do? He'll make a way of escape. Where's the escape? In the graces and the strength that he has for you and I. It's not comfortable. It's not glamorous to be in these situations. And sometimes it doesn't feel good to have God show you where you're coming short. But it's for your good. I'd rather he show me where I'm coming short now than when I get to judgment time and he says, no, you don't have what I meant for you to have. You can't come in. This is a prayer we should consider in these times. Psalms 69th chapter. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying and my throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. This is an acknowledgement that, Lord, I'm beyond my capability. And I'm asking you to save me. Give me whatever you need to give me, Lord. Clean out whatever part of me that's in there that needs to be cleaned out so that those graces and things can fit in there. Graces can't overlap ourselves. It's going to be either one or the other. One is going to be there or the other is going to be there. And it's not human nature to want to go through difficult things. But when we find us in those places, we have to understand God is working something in you and I. He's going to make us examples of righteousness in this day and time. And he wants you and I to shine with the graces that he has. Whatever is necessary for us to make it through. When we come, what did he say? When we come through, we'll come forth as gold. Isaiah 30th chapter. Isaiah 30th, verses 19 through 21. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear thee, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not my teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right or when ye turn to the left. Who's our teacher? The Holy Spirit. And we find ourselves, this is the problem that a lot of Christians have. When they get in these places, the bread of affliction and adversity, that's when they want to find an easier way. And when the Holy Spirit is telling them, this is the way, walk ye in it, don't turn to the right or turn to the left, they plug their ears and they turn to the right and they turn to the left trying to get out of it. Lord knows I've had enough adversity in my life that I've tried to get out of it. And the Lord brings it right back around until I'm willing to go through it. Amen. And then when I go through it, he has something for me on the other side of it. Amen. And you know what? When we go through these things, the things that he gives us enables us to be able to take the next hardest trial. He don't give babes these kind of trials. These are people that have walked with him for a while. Because this is what it's going to take to get to heaven. The bread of adversity, the water of affliction, is a part of the Christian life. The world would say, well, you need to solve it this way. Or you need to solve it that way. The world's not interested in going to heaven. But they are interested in derailing you and I from going to heaven. And when God allows these things, the Spirit is telling us, this is the way, walk ye in it. Why would I try to dodge it to get out of it? How else was I going to get the diving sticks off the bottom of the pool to pass the class? Well, let's see. Maybe I'll get somebody else to do it for me. Maybe I'll get one of them little sticks you can stick down there and reach down in the water. No, there was specific instructions. Jump in the pool, go get all four sticks and bring them up. That was the instruction. God gives us the same thing. This is the way I want you to go through this trial. Some of them he sends Somebody might say something to me. And it's somebody that always got something to say. And I'm so used to responding back. And then God says, I want you to be quiet. You know how hard it is for people to be quiet? We live in a world full of people that's got something to say. And God says, I want you to be quiet. And it's eating you up inside. Because now you feel like I've given away the upper hand. They're going to think me weak. Or they're going to think me, they don't want to be bothered. But God said, be quiet. How could Jesus stand before the king being accused of all kind of things? And it said he answered him not a word. See, this is what God's got for us. He's got some shut up grace. He's got some turn the other cheek grace. That's what he wants you and I to get a hold to. And these places in the deep, that's where he takes us. And sometimes, you know what? We human. I just got to say this one thing and then I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to say this one thing and then I'm going to be quiet. And you know what you do? You get yourself in trouble with God. And guess what happens? He brings it around again. I'm going to say this one thing. I'm going to be quiet. How many times are you going to say that one thing and be quiet? God said, be quiet. These are the things that he takes us through. Is it challenging to our mind, to our intellect? I'm somebody here. I'm this person. I'm that person. I have a right and authority to be able to say this or that. But God said, be quiet. Do you think Jesus had authority to say anything? Yes. He could have said everything. Right. And he could have brought it to an end right there. But you and I would have been in trouble because then he wouldn't have went to the cross. Yes. But it said he answered not a word. Something that simple can be difficult for Christians to do. Just be quiet. I often use this example at home. We have people that drive aggressively, cut you off at the light, run the red light, honk at you if you don't move as soon as the light change. How do we respond in those times? We got a horn. They said they put a horn in the car. That means I should use the horn if I feel I need to. But where's that grace at? This something happens every day. I believe this affects every last one of us. Because I believe where all of us live, there's some aggressive drivers. That's what they're termed, aggressive drivers. And they just cut you off. You could be going along and you had your morning devotion and I'm driving wherever I'm going and I'm just singing the songs of Zion. And that car cut me off. Am I still singing the songs of Zion? Or has something else come into my mind or in my hand? This is the deed. There's an expectation that God has of his people. He wants to be able to point, look, you see that brother sitting in that car right there? He is not going to honk his horn at somebody to cut them off. I witnessed a car. Actually, I witnessed two cars. One particular man driving and is an older couple had turned in front of him, and I don't think they saw him at all. He proceeded to ride their bumper 3 miles down the road with the horn pushed. And I happened to be in the area because I was working on a job over there. And I'm watching this. And I'm like, wow. I guess the fruits showed there. That brother needs Jesus. Then I seen another person. A person had turned in front of them, and it was an intersection where somebody has a right of way. Well, they felt they had the right of way. They didn't have the right of way. But the person turned in front of them, and so they shot around. This is a two-lane road, shot around them in front of the oncoming cars just to get in front of them, and then slammed on the brakes. This is the kind of world we live in. There are many examples we can use of people that act with a whole lot of self. But God wants some people that have self under control. He wants some people that have died to self, where the graces of God just show forth. Apostle Paul experienced the deep. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I want to read verse 25. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. He said, "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." And as I meditated upon this, there's a lot of examples here that Paul experienced. And he showed the grace of God in every last one of them. But he said a night and a day in the deep. Now, I don't know if you know this, but when you get out in the ocean and it is nighttime, if the moon is not out, or any of the stars, if it's cloudy, you do not know where you are. I have been out on the ocean 200 miles on fishing trip, and you get up out of the little bunk and they say it's time to fish, and you go out there and you look around, and all you see is one wave after another. You can't see no land. You can't even see a pattern in the waves. You're just out there. Well, the boat's using electronics. They know exactly where we are. But Apostle Paul was out in the deep. A night and a day. He did not have GPS. The Coast Guard didn't come looking for him. He didn't have no depth finder. He didn't have no beacon on him. He was just out there. Now, what could he have done in his own mind? He could say, "Well, I'm going to swim that way. What direction is that way?" When you are out in the deep, you don't know where you are. What are you going to do? It's best to find something to hold on to and wait for help. So I say that to say this spiritually. When you and I find ourselves out in the deep, we don't see any direction around us, it's time to hold on to Jesus and wait for help. And God is going to leave you and I out there as long as it takes to get what he wants out of our life. This brother remembered it because he wrote it in scripture. He wrote a lot of things that affected him. But we talk about the Apostle Paul, don't we? The graces that he showed from God, you don't find too many people with them. And this is what God wants to give in this day and time. When you're out there, find something to hold on to. Save me, Lord. And then when you're out there, you don't know how long you're going to be out there. He was out there a night and a day. How long? I mean, do you imagine how far he drifted? He didn't even know where he was. Jonah didn't know where he was. What's Jonah going to do? I'm tired of being in this well. I'm going to get this well to open his mouth and shoot me out somewhere. This is not Pinocchio's story. All these children are familiar with Pinocchio. What do? They start a little fire in the well and made the well sneeze and they came out. Jonah had to stand there till he got what God had for him. And sometimes that's what he does with us. He's going to leave us in the deep until he can truly get through to us what he's trying to get through. And that's when you and I, we find ourselves on our knees. Lord, I don't have it. I don't have enough grace. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough long suffering. And Lord, I don't have enough forgiveness either. He brings them places along. When we are whelmed in the deep, only God can save us. We become completely dependent on him, and we don't know the time frame. But he'll give us what we need. We come to him and say, Lord, I don't have enough patience. And then he blesses your soul. And the next time something else comes along, you realize the Lord gave me some more. He's given me some more love. He's given me some more forgiveness. Whatever it is, the Lord knows exactly where we are. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows that if we got something on hand that's going to catch us and trip us on the way to heaven, he wants to deal with it now. Deep, calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I want to look at two verses of song. Number 79, the first verse says, where'er my Savior's hand may lead, whate'er my lot may be, I will not murmur nor repine. I'll know 'tis well with me. The chorus says, though storms sweep o'er my trembling bark, waves around me swell, still this my ransomed soul shall sing, 'tis well with me, 'tis well. When you and I are in these places, the enemy is going to come along and tell you lost. You ain't going to make it. God's just going to let you drown. That's not what this song says. God is in there with us. Amen. He knows how much we can take. He may back it off a little bit, give us a little break, and then bring it back again. Yeah. But he's going to do it to give us exactly what we need. This other song, number 55. Verse 3, and now I have flung myself recklessly out, like a chip on the stream of the infinite will. You and I, we surrendered ourselves to God. We got to let him have his way. I flung myself out. That means I've taken a loose of the controls. I said, Lord, you can have it. Whatever you send my way, I'm in your hands. I said, like a chip on infinite will. Have you ever seen a piece of wood floating on the water? It doesn't steer itself. No. It's moved wherever the water goes. I've seen, we used to, as little children, we had a ditch ran in front of our house. And when it would rain, the water would run down that ditch. So we'd get the little popsicle sticks, put our name on it, we have races. So we'd start it at one end and we watching it go along. And sometimes it would hit a little pool where the water swirled, and that popsicle stick would just stay there and swirl, and you just watch your brothers go by. That's kind of the way it is. When you put your hands in God, he's got something to accomplish. He wants you to be an example in this day and time that he can point to and say, look at brother or sister so-and-so. Look what they went through, and look how they came out. And then someone else coming along the way, they don't have to look way back in the Bible per se. It's good to look there, but they got a real life example right before them. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be those kind of examples. Is the deep easy? No, it's not. After I dove in and got them four diving sticks and finally got up to the surface, I was tired. You know how hard it is to come out of 12 and a half feet of water? You didn't just jump in and reach down. You had to dive down and get them because they would move on you. So you had to dive down and get a hold to them, get all of them on one breath, and then swim up. I was tired. But you know what? Most of all, I was happy. I passed the class. And that was the most important thing. That's what God wants all of us to pass. He wants to see all of us in glory. He wants to show those that are already in glory, look, these are the ones that came through in 2024. And they had the graces on hand. This is what they were able to do. They were able to turn the other cheek. They were able to be quiet. They were able to leave that horn alone unless it was absolutely necessary. They were able to come through with victory, not knowing how long it would last.